This is the weekly roundup of the John Lothian News Daily Update for the week of December 28th, 2020. This is Patrick Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for December 28th, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Urex. Visit them at urex.com. A note from John Lothian. The holidays can be difficult for many people in normal years. This pandemic year presents special risks because of the way we are all separated. I encourage you to reach out to your family and friends if you have not yet to check in on them. I also encourage you to continue to be safe, be smart, and continue to do your best to beat this pandemic. The holidays are normally a time when family and friends get together. Last night, the Lothian family, my brothers and their wives and kids and my cousins, and more gathered on a Zoom call to hold our annual Lothian Family Christmas. This year, we played a game online and had a lot of fun with it. It was not the normal round robin of gift-giving and stealing that we have come to love, but it was still fun. The news about the pandemic is not good in the U.S., as some experts say it will get worse. December was the deadliest month of the COVID-19 pandemic in the U.S., with more than 63,000 deaths so far this month, and the CDC says the total number of deaths has reached 330,901. And just to top it off, Dr. Anthony Fauci says the worst is yet to come. Bitcoin hit new highs again and again and has traded above 28,000. Sam Geyer and Joanne Morrison are the latest to give to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Sam's donation moved the amount raised over the $20,000 mark by giving $1,000 to the campaign. Geyer is a veteran technology entrepreneur, trader, and exchange executive. In fact, he has served as CEO of NYMEX Europe when that was a thing. He also served as CIO of FINRA. Joanne is a veteran journalist and writer who now works for the University of Maryland. She is a senior director of marketing and public relations at the University of Maryland, Baltimore. She formerly worked for the FIA in their Washington, D.C. offices. Thank you to Sam and Joanne and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. Have a great day and stay safe, and treat people the same way you would want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. That was a note from John Lothian. Now a note from Tom Thompson. The FDA has turned its attention to the CBD swamp over the past few weeks. Last week, they warned five companies for selling inhalants, nose sprays, and eyewash that contain the miracle compound because the agency thinks the delivery methods are particularly risky for unproven medications like CBD. The previous week, they fined six different companies for selling CBD products represented as medicines without a demonstration that they would work as claimed. An article by David Benoit of the Wall Street Journal. J.P. Morgan's Jamie Dimon and his brush with death. You don't have time for an ambulance. The CEO's dangerous rip in his aorta came as the pandemic began to ravage the economy. The two emergencies would test the foundations of America's largest bank. Fear jolted Jamie Dimon awake in the dark morning hours of March 5th. U.S. coronavirus cases numbered only around 100, but markets were flashing warning signs. It was 4 a.m. and the J.P. Morgan Chase & Co. chief executive dialed up his top lieutenant to deliver a message that couldn't wait. The economy is in trouble. A note from Suzanne Cosgrove. Lesson learned. An aortic tear doesn't pay attention to financial crises. From HKEX. HKEX Foundation raises over $100 million for charity in 2020. HKEX's new $20 million charity partnership program will be funding 10 community projects benefiting 40,000 plus individuals in Hong Kong. Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing Limited is pleased to announce that since launching the HKEX Foundation in June 2020, it has raised more than $100 million to support community projects in Hong Kong. The foundation has to date funded a wide range of projects and charities, supporting Hong Kong's most vulnerable and in need. A note from John Lothian, that is over $12 million in U.S. dollars raised, and very nice work. From Yogita Khatri of The Block, DeFi protocol cover exploited. Attackers minted at least 40 quintillion tokens. Decentralized finance protocol cover, which recently merged with Yearn Finance, has just been exploited terribly. One of the attackers was able to mint 40 quintillion cover tokens, worth about 11,826 quintillion at the time of writing, due to a bug in the protocol's small contracts. A comment by John Lothian. Is that all the money in the world? By Lane Rogers of Bloomberg. Queen Elizabeth thanks medical staff in Christmas address. Queen Elizabeth II used her annual Christmas message to thank medical staff on the front lines of the battle against COVID-19 and said the pandemic has helped bring communities together despite the need for social distancing. Remarkably, a year that has necessarily kept people apart has in many ways brought us closer, said the British monarch, who has delivered the broadcast every year except one since assuming the throne in 1952. Comment by John Lothian. You don't need to have a crown to be a leader, but sometimes people with crowns are just that. And now Thursday's top three. The leading story on Thursday before the holiday break was from the Washington Post about popular journalists who changed direction. What happened to Maria Bartiromo? Second was news from Peak Six. Peak Six acquires Switzerland-based Hardcastle Trading. And the third most read story was an interesting feature from Financial Times. Retail trading boom spills over into the fine wine market. This is Patrick Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for December 29th, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at eurex.com. Now a note from John Lothian. Jim McNulty, former Chicago Mercantile Exchange CEO and longtime industry and civic leader, is the latest to give to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign. McNulty was a mentor when I was first starting my career, and then I lost track of him as he traveled the world as an investment banker. When he was named the CEO of the CME in early 2000, it was an epiphany event that showed me that I needed to do a better job of staying in contact with people. That epiphany and other factors led to the creation of the John Lothian newsletter. Thank you to Jim for his donation and to all who have given so far and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Speaking of Jim McNulty, my favorite McNulty memory was the Globex anniversary party at Navy Pier in Chicago in June of 2002. It was a black tie affair, and because it was summertime, I wore my white dinner jacket. The only other person there with a white dinner jacket was Jim McNulty. He went up on stage at one point and started to play guitar with a band and sing. I wrote the story the next day, Rock and Roll CEO Wow CME Globex Party. McNulty told me he received over 50 copies of the newsletter by email and even some by fax. He subscribed to JLN that day. And today's JLN is a picture of me from that night with my friend Ryan McNulty, who then worked for the CME. Elad Roseman has been named acting chairman of the SEC by President Donald Trump. He replaces former chairman Jay Clayton, who resigned and whose last day was right before Christmas. Today I am teaching the communication merit badge via an online Zoom meeting with 12 scouts. Tomorrow I am teaching the journalism merit badge. This is all part of the Trading Tech Merit Badge Workshop program I created with the Pathway to Adventure Council of the Boy Scouts of America. We normally hold these classes in the office of firms around the financial district, but because of the pandemic, we have moved online. If you are interested in learning more how you or your firm can participate in this program, please contact me. Thank you to Suzanne Cosgrove for being our acting managing editor today, as Sarah Rudolph, our editor-in-chief, is taking some well-deserved time off. Have a great day and stay safe, and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. That was a note from John Lothian. And now a note from Suzanne Cosgrove. Last week, we reported on the Illinois Craft Cannabis Association's attempt to get the state of Illinois to issue delayed social equity and craft grower licenses, originally promised by July 1st, by filing a request for a writ of mandamus that would force the state's hand. This week, we learned Judge Alan Walker denied that request on December 24th, ruling a day later than expected. ICCA President Paul Magelli likened it to leaving a pile of coal under the Christmas tree. Judge Walker scheduled a status hearing on the case for January 19th. An article by Charlie Grant of the Wall Street Journal, "Return to almost normal may be closer than you think. U.S. doesn't need to reach full herd immunity before public spaces can begin phasing reopens." As 2021 arrives, there is one question that matters most. How soon can we escape the COVID-19 pandemic? The answer is as elusive as it is pressing. It is unknown what level of natural infection and immunization is needed to reach herd immunity in the population. It is also unknown how many people in the U.S. have already contracted the coronavirus. Whatever the answer to the question, trillions of dollars in economic activity are at stake, as are millions of livelihoods. A comment by Matt Rabel. Let's not jump the gun on this one. People assuming the coasts are clear is how we get spikes in infection rates. An article by Madeline Holcomb of CNN. Record COVID-19 hospitalizations in U.S. could soon force health experts to ration care. The number of patients hospitalized across the U.S. with COVID-19 is the highest it's ever been. And at this rate, health experts warn they may have to ration nurses, respirators, and care. When you run out of capacity, physicians and bioethicists in the hospitals will need to decide which patients are salvageable, potentially salvageable, and which patients aren't. CNN medical analyst Dr. Jonathan Reiner explained. A comment by Suzanne Cosgrove. A grim outlook we hope healthcare professionals will be able to avoid. From the CME Group, Elad Roseman named acting chairman of the SEC. The Securities and Exchange Commission today announced that President Donald J. Trump has designated Elad L. Roseman as acting chairman of the agency. I am humbled and honored to serve as acting chairman, said acting chairman Roseman. During the time I am in this role, I am fully committed to maintaining a steady course that Chairman Clayton charted during his admirable tenure. I look forward to continuing to work with the incredible SEC staff and my fellow commissioners as we steward the agency into the new year. A note by Suzanne Cosgrove, a commissioner since 2018, Roseman is not expected to be a SEC change agent. And now Monday's top three. The top story on Monday was again the Washington Post's What Happened to Maria Bartiromo, which perhaps underscores how popular she once was. The second most read was the riveting Wall Street Journal story on J.P. Morgan's Jamie Dimon and his brush with death. You don't have time for an ambulance. The number three was a Business Insider's investigation. Robinhood salaries revealed. How much the fintech unicorn pays its employees as it prepares to go public in 2021, from $117,000 to as much as $326,000. This is Patrick Lothian with the daily update of commentaries and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for December 30th, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at eurex.com. And now a note from John Lothian. Tomorrow is our last edition of the John Lothian newsletter for 2020. We shall return on January 4th, the same day everyone's out of the office notice seems to be set for. This year will not be forgotten soon. Every day we publish the MarketsWiki stats of the day. Our wiki site, which will hit 200 million page views in February most likely, ended 2019 at 170,389,321 pages viewed, 24,004 pages, and 222,864 edits. Today the site stands at 196,048,856 pages viewed, 24,851 pages, and 227,824 edits. We will end the year with over 26 million page views, having added over 800 pages and made 5,000 edits to the site during 2020. Thank you to the JLN team for their hard work during 2020 on MarketsWiki and JohnLothianNews.com. Charles Lee said goodbye to friends, customers, and colleagues in the latest Charles Lee direct post on the HKEXGroup.com website. After 11 years, he is moving on to the next chapter of his life and leaving the exchange group he helped build into a global player. In the John Lothian newsletter, you will find a podcast featuring Crane Chicago Business Report's Steve Daniels, talking about the big stories in banking, insurance, and utilities in 2020, and telling us what he'll be watching closely for in 2021. Daniels recently replaced Lynn Merrick on the Chicago Financial Markets beat. We have two new donations to the John Lothian News Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign. The first is by David Johnson, retired Morgan Stanley executive and trustee for the Clearing Corporation Charitable Foundation. He is an industry leader and a great example of the type of civic leader the financial districts of Chicago has produced over the decades. The second was Dan Pritchard, a veteran industry sales and business development professional who has worked for some of the biggest names in the industry. Thank you to Dave and Dan and to all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. Have a great day and stay safe, and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. That was a note by John Lothian. And now a note from Suzanne Cosgrove. Colin Canwright at Canwright Communications has shared his best of list with us. 5 most read FinTech Rising articles of 2020. It makes for an interesting reading. Top topics include blockchain, payments, trailblazers, and building standards into the crypto marketplace. From the editorial board of the New York Times, nursing home patients are dying of loneliness. As the vaccine rolls out in nursing homes, most visits should be allowed. When she had the routine of home, Angie Sinopoli was the talkative matriarch of a large Italian family who heaped praise on their children and grandchildren, even as her memory faded. Her youngest son, Stephen, came to her house and cooked her dinner nearly every night. But after a couple of falls and bouts in rehabilitation centers, she ended up in a Syracuse nursing home on March 10th. 2 days later, it stopped all visits to protect residents from the coronavirus. Mrs. Sinopoli hasn't seen family in more than 9 months. Her vocabulary has dwindled to about 20 words. A comment by Suzanne Cosgrove, safety first, but elder care has many dimensions. From the NFA, notice of annual meeting of NFA members and board and nominating committee election. NFA will hold its annual meeting of members on Tuesday, February 2nd, 2021 at 10 a.m. Central Time via video conferencing. Comment by John Lothian, here's your last chance to be at an NFA annual meeting from the comfort of your own computer. From HKEX, goodbye friends. Time flies and 2020 is nearly over. I'm about to leave Hong Kong Exchange, where I have worked for 11 years and turn to the next chapter of my life. My heart is full of gratitude and thanksgiving as I look back. Although the COVID-19 pandemic continues to rage around the world, I am fortunate that my family and I and my colleagues have been blessed with safety and health this year. While the global political and economic environment has been difficult, HKEX and Hong Kong's financial markets have shown resilience and strength throughout the last year. This demonstrates Hong Kong's competitiveness as an international financial center and its continuing relevance on the world stage. And of course, the long-awaited arrival of COVID vaccines will soon get us all, we hope, out of the haze. A comment by John Lothian. Goodbye, Charles. From Terry Gross of NPR, Stephen King is sorry you feel like you're stuck in a Stephen King novel. The horror writer says he understands why fans have said that the pandemic feels like living in one of his novels. In April 2020, King told Fresh Air that COVID-19 filled him with annoying anxiety. A comment by Suzanne Cosgrove. One reason why it has been such a busy year for therapists and other mental health professionals. From Tom Giles of Bloomberg, Apple Aura devices can help detect COVID-19 early, studies show. Hi all, it's Tom. Early this year, as the coronavirus began its rapid, deadly advance around the globe, groups of scientists in the US and Europe embarked on a quest to determine whether wearable technology, devices like smartwatches, activity trackers, and sensor-laden rings, could aid in detection of the illness. Those efforts, which Kristen V. Brown and I covered here, are beginning to bear fruit. Comment by John Lothian, by monitoring your temperature, your Apple Watch may be able to detect COVID-19. And now Tuesday's top three. The top viewed entry in the newsletter on Tuesday was the photo of John Lothian and Ryan McNally at a Globex anniversary dinner. The second most viewed was a Bloomberg thought piece, COVID has transformed the psychology of ambition. And three was the still popular, What Happened to Maria Bartiromo.
This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for December 31st, 2020. The last day of the year. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the hits and take section. The team at JLN wishes you and yours a very happy new year and a better 2021. This last year has been one for the history books and shall not soon be forgotten. But let us be optimistic that in the new year we can overcome this pandemic and emerge stronger for having survived the experience. We mourn those that we have lost in the last year, but cherish their memories and all we learned from having them in our lives. Happy New Year. We are still collecting answers to our readership survey. We greatly appreciate the participation we have received so far, and hope to get even more to improve the accuracy of the data. We will be picking 3 names of people who answered the survey and shared their names and giving a donation of $100 to a charity of their choice. The link for the survey is above in today's newsletter. Refinitiv Chief Privacy Officer Vivian Arts has been recognized in this year's UK Queen's New Year's Honours List. She has been awarded the OBE, the Order of the British Empire, for her contribution to increased gender diversity in financial services as President and CEO of Women in Banking and Finance, and as a leader and role model for gender diversity across multiple organizations and companies for many years, and for her contribution to data privacy. Congratulations to Ms. Arts on this honor. If you have not noticed from the many appeals flooding your inbox, today is the last day of the year and the last day to make a donation to a charity that you can deduct from your 2020 taxes. There are many organizations with great needs, especially food banks trying to feed the many unemployed people impacted by the pandemic. I encourage you to increase your charitable deductions on this last day of 2020. We had two new donations to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Box Options Exchange CEO Ed Boyle contributed, as did Patrick Gardner, Director of Sales and Product Manager, Automated Trading at Vela. Ed is a member of the JLN Advisory Committee and a leading member of the Singing Boyle Brothers Band. Okay, I made up that last part about the band, but not about the brothers. Ed is a former TD Securities and NYSE Euronext executive who is a longtime fan of JLN. Patrick is a former director of sales at Option City, which was acquired by Vela. He is also a hockey coach for the Chicago Jets, a peewee and bantam level team in Chicago. Thank you to Ed and Patrick and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. I would also like to thank Dan Pritchard, who was noted yesterday as a donor. Dan gave our campaign a shout-out on LinkedIn yesterday, encouraging people to donate to the campaign. Thank you, Dan. Before SEC Chairman Jay Clayton left his role last week, the agency tied up a few digital asset loose ends. The SEC published a statement that set forth special purpose broker dealers' responsibilities for custodying customers' digital securities. The commission finally took action against Ripple for not registering the coin XRP, which the SEC believes is a security. And it disproved Options Exchange Box's plan for a blockchain settlement system for stock transactions. The SEC's lawsuit against Ripple over its unregistered sale of XRP continues to have, forgive the pun, ripple effects throughout the cryptocurrency industry. Things are not going well for the company, adding to the list of trading platforms that have announced they are delisting XRP. Binance US and Genesis Trading announced Wednesday that they will be delisting the digital asset. While Genesis said via email that trading was merely, quote, suspended, and the company was, quote, monitoring the evolving regulatory situation with XRP, unquote, Binance US announced that it would fully remove support for XRP trading on January 13, 2021, with some exceptions made for users who wish to withdraw XRP from their accounts after that time. The OCC cleared 30,737,464 contracts yesterday, 3.4% higher than their year-to-date daily average of 29,734,486 contracts, Matt Rabel reported. Here are some more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Intercontinental Exchange statement on passing of board member Jean-Marc Fornery. Press release from the Intercontinental Exchange. Intercontinental Exchange, a leading operator of global exchanges and clearinghouses and provider of mortgage technology, data, and listing services, issued statements from company leaders today mourning the loss of longtime board member Jean-Marc Fornery, who passed away on December 28th, 2020. Our condolences to the family and friends and colleagues of the deceased. Here is a story from NBC News. Operation Warp Speed at a crawl. Adequately vaccinating Americans will take 10 years at current pace. In other coronavirus news, Vice President-elect Kamala Harris got her shot. The pandemic has left many Americans stuck in time. The Trump administration's COVID-19 vaccine distribution program needs a major shot in the arm because at the current rate, it would take almost 10 years to inoculate enough Americans to get the pandemic under control. A jarring new NBC News analysis showed Tuesday. The goal of Operation Warp Speed, a private-public partnership led by Vice President Mike Pence to produce and deliver safe and effective COVID-19 vaccines to the public, is to ensure that 80% of the country's 330.7 million people get the shots by late June. 10 years at warp speed is not warp speed, is my comment. Here are today's top three most read stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was the Wall Street Journal's How NYSE's Top Salesman Fought for IPOs in 2020, about John Tuttle, the NYSE's Vice Chairman and Chief Commercial Officer. Second was Hong Kong Exchange's CEO Charles Lee's Goodbye Friends, his farewell as he retires from his 11-year post at the exchange. And people still want to know about what happened to Maria Bartiromo, as the Washington Post story was once again in our top three stories at number three. Here are your Markets Wiki statistics for the last day of the year. The site has 196,130,046 pages viewed, with 24,850 pages. There have been 227,958 edits. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. Happy New Year. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.